It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the farm. I'm doing some research, getting ready for next week when we start loading up on the guests, and we're moving some of the schedule around since we have Butler Schaefer coming in studio Monday. We're going to change some of the guests around and so on. We might even have Mark Victor come in. He was a student, a law student of Professor Schaefer. And he's been his mentor, and that's how I got to know Butler and have him as speaker at several functions and such. And he's a regular fixture at the Freedom Summit. And he's going to be here in town. So he's going to come in studio, and we're going to go ahead and extend his scheduled visit with us for 2 hours instead of one. And then, you know, we'll just get to hang. You know, Butler's a good friend, and, you know, he's a very, very, very intelligent guy that had a big impact on Mark and then, of course, on myself and, you know, hundreds of thousands of other young people, I'm sure, at least thousands, you know. But the concept that he's trying to espouse is that chaos has its own order. You know, spontaneous order comes out a lot of, and we're going to talk a little bit about just a little bit of his article that prompted me to schedule him for Monday, and he's just going to happen to be in town. And we're going to be talking about Libya, because I need to prep for next week. A lot of people I'm having on Middle East experts in Libya, and we're getting everything all set up, and we're near done in the studio and get our video done, and we're probably going to be doing some live webcasting. I may even go ahead and try and start doing calls and stuff. You know, we set this up as, even though we have a lot of help and a lot of people doing a lot of things, my goal from the beginning was to be able to have a full-fledged radio show with all of the goodies, because I've been in radio for a long time, knew what I needed to be able to have full access to do whatever, and it be able to be managed by one person. And we've evolved it into where we're getting to, the only consideration that I have is taking calls, because you still got to screen them a little bit. I mean, you know, first that they're not, you know, phone solicitors or something. All right, you're on the air. Oh, is Mr. Hancock there? I want to sell you something. So, you know, we're working on a lot of this stuff because there's some other plans that we have. Another thing is we have donated a small RV that we're going to be equipping out, that we're going to be using as a mobile unit to cover, you know, the collapse of the empire and be able to be mobile a little bit. And we have a mobile unit. It's called a Comrex Access, which is a full studio in your hand. You wear it on your belt, like when we were doing, you know, a lot of functions, when I go on remotes, when I go out of state and so on, we can take that with us. And we have pretty much probably about 85% of our capacity. Now, of course, it's more difficult for a lot of other things, but it's we have the capability to go mobile. Now, while we're getting ready, I apologize, you know, we're, you know, getting mics all fixed and everything, and you're beta testing for us, and we've been getting some feedback from people. Hey, man, this mic sounds bad here. This is cutting out there. Push that button there. And I appreciate it, and thank you. And I appreciate your patience, but I wanted to share with you today, for the 2 hours, I did this on Egypt. And I want to do it for Libya, just in my research getting ready for these guys coming next week. And I wanted to get some history on what Libya really means to the United States or anybody else, and should we care? And why is it of so much importance to the United States government? How is it that, you know, Clinton is telling House Representatives Appropriation Committee just this last Thursday that the administration of Obama was keeping all options on the table for possible stronger measures in Libya and was seeking to build bridges to Libyan opposition figures? Well, stronger measures? I mean, why would we have any measures? Why are we doing anything? Well, Pat Buchanan has an article out, and he wrote something. When was this dated? He wrote an article. It was on Lou Rockwell, and it said, "A Middle East Without America." Okay. You know, what would that be like? Well, that was a month ago. It was February 19th, almost a month ago, 3 weeks ago, on Lou Rockwell. And he went on to talk about, if we just got out of the way, we wouldn't have a lot of these problems. Because that's one of the points that I saw on a YouTube, we had on Freeman's Phoenix yesterday, of Dr. Ron Paul talking to Cavuto. And he was saying, if we just left, we could still buy the oil. It'd be cheaper. And sure as heck, we wouldn't have all this military spending, around to go get cheap oil. And it's really not about the American people. Because oil is fungible. I mean, it's like money. It's like it's a commodity. I mean, if you don't buy it directly from Exxon, that's got their, Mobil or BP or whoever, and you buy it instead of from them, and you're buying it from a foreign-owned oil company, and my gas tank doesn't care. It doesn't care. That money, you think it's going to, keeping the money in the U.S.? Or are you kidding? These are international corporations. Lord knows where that money goes. And it's just using the military might and the neocon will, regardless of which administration's in, to make sure that the money flows through certain channels. And it benefits the right people and those that want to do whatever. And Israel's always going to get involved in this thing. And that's another thing. They're sitting there talking about, this is better for the region and we have the people rising up and everything. And by the way, we need an extra $20 billion in military aid. For what? And I don't even care for what. Make your argument. What is it? We're going to put a 45 to the next generation's head and say, we need this money from you because Israel wants it. I don't care. It's not an anti-Israel thing. It's anti-steal my money and sure as heck take it out of the country thing. Does that even register with anybody? Are you allowed to say that? Well, we're saying it here. And then I guess this is dated when. This was... again, we have Pat Buchanan writing an article today. Came out on Lou Rockwell. It's their war, not ours. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. Now, getting back to Clinton, he's quoted as saying, "We are standing with the Libyan people as they brave bombs and bullets to demand that Gaddafi must go now. We are reaching out to the opposition inside and outside of Libya." Now, let me bring this up. Do you remember, Karzai for Afghanistan? Now, where the heck he come from? He was outside. And there was another guy. I don't even remember these names anymore. I don't even care. It was a guy that was in London, in the United Kingdom, that they brought in to be the next leader for Iraq. And these are just staged. See, look, we got, leaders of the opposition inside and outside, and the 15-year-olds in the streets, throwing, rocks or trying to just survive. They don't know who these people are, and they don't care. It has nothing to do with that. We create our own collectives so that we can say we negotiated with them, and they begged us to go bomb Gaddafi so that we can get the military. And, all the warships are moving into the Mediterranean, realignment of the fleet. This is United Kingdom, France. We'll talk about France and what role Italy used to play in this and what their position is now in Germany. We need to get a beat on this stuff. It's going to get... You thought, could they really go into another war? Really?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going over, learning a little bit about Libya. Because I really, you know, want to prep myself for next week's shows. And we've been really busy. I mean, we're still working hard here, getting everything ready. But, you know, I'm gonna have to do a history lesson here sooner or later. And we started off today, so I'm going to share a lot of that with you. So you're prepared a little bit, should you be listening next week also, to when we have all these experts on. Because I'll have people that, you know, this is what happens. In years in radio, what they, you know, as time goes on, you're a producer and you do your own show and you produce other shows and you work for networks and so on. And what happens is you get on a lot of lists of these different PR firms, and it's more than just we want our talking head to come on. You know, you have a lot of publishers of books that have their authors, and that's one of the ways that, you know, we're trying to get hold of Pat Buchanan. I've had him on before, because when he has a book out, oh, you're obligated. You know, you want us to publish your book? Guess what? This is part of the contract. You'd be doing lots of talk radio. So they go on the talking heads and all this kind of stuff. So this is when, if you really want to track a lot of the big names, you start looking what books are coming out each month. And you get hold of, and I know a lot of the publishers of the big New York publishers and so on. So when they publish these books, you just contact with them and you get scheduled in. That's how you get these guys. And if you want to find someone, you know, a lot of these guys, man, they're hard to find. You know, I have, over the years, I have, you know, cell numbers and their extension in their bathroom at their Malibu retreat house. I have tracked guys from the UN into the Philippines, you know, into Indonesia and Jakarta. You know, it's 12-hour distance and difference in time in Asia. So, but they always have one thing that you can count on. They want to sell their books, or they're contracted to help the publisher sell their books. So this is how we get hold of these people. So I have next week a lot of authors and activists, and a lot of them are just stooges for whatever progressive policy here, or Arab, what you call it, advocacy group of whatever, and so on. You know, and what I'm really looking for is a diverse opinion. Because if you just get, you know, the Fox News, we want our guy up there to just say what we want him to say, you don't learn anything. And also, a lot of you that listen to the show, you start to see what I'm doing. You hear a lot of the same repetitive catchphrases, you know, and it's more, and I know you guys have heard it. And, you know, and as much as they're pertinent, you know, I've heard myself say it several billion times too, but they haven't. To have someone from the Middle East exposed to the concept of an activism that's not about who gets to be your new ally or rule you, or what bank's going to give you loans, or countries that's going to come to your aid or bomb your opposition, you know, and then they change their mind later and start bombing you. You know, it's not about that. When we start expressing the concept of an entire generation that is exposed to the concept of self-government, of self-rule, self-ownership, everything derives from that. And they're getting exposed to it irregardless. Because of the internet, you know, here we go. And it's already happened. Even if they shut it down, it's done. They're called thumb drives, you know, DVDs. You know, they're not going to stop it. Very soon, we're going to have the green Superman crystal with, you know, every bit of human information that's ever been published anywhere or anything, and, you know, in the palm of your hand. Then what? You know, it's all about accessing, taking it in context, having the, where you have things like Freedom's Phoenix. Freedom's Phoenix new people, they don't really see what it is. What's libertarian about it is being exposed to all of the perspectives and counting on you to be able to figure it out on your own. You know, we're going, look, man, you know, what's the overall prime directive? Thou shalt not initiate force against somebody else. You read this in the first couple of paragraphs, you can see that's what they're doing. We are reaching out to the opposition inside and outside of Libya. This is Hillary Clinton. I will be meeting with some of those figures both here in the United States and when I travel next week to discuss what more the United States and others can do. Earlier Thursday, an official at French President Nicolas Sarkozy's said that France recognized the rebel Libyan National Council as the legitimate representative of the Libyan people. Okay, the official said France would be sending an ambassador to Benghazi and receiving a Libyan envoy in Paris. He was speaking after a meeting between Sarkozy and officials from the Libyan National Council. They've already selected the opposition. Do you know who the people are? What credentials do they have? Do the people in Libya even know who the heck they are? You know, they got shiny ties. They wear traditional Arab garb. You know, are they the new Moors that, you know, been selected? It's one thing that I learned. You always say the Moors. I never understood who that was. You know, the Moors invaded this and Islam going into Spain and the Moors. And the Moors is just another way of identifying an urban Arab. Those that were born and bred, I guess, in the large cities on the northern coast of Africa were called Moors. So this isn't just as an aside. I always heard that and never knew if I'd share it with you. Now, the flavor that I'm getting from this is that they've already made a decision. You know, this Libya started what? A week ago? 2 weeks ago? I mean, it's just getting going, you know, and we don't have a direct influence there as far as we know, unless we do. Do we? A little CIA action, maybe? You know, they're going on about 4 years. They're finding out that a FBI agent has been captured in Iran years ago. And just now Clinton's going on, hey, we want him back. They're going to do a trade or something. So we're entangling alliances. We're messing where we shouldn't be. Now they want to have justification for us to do a no-fly zone. And let me tell you what that means. That means you take out anti-aircraft positions. You take out enemy aircraft or enemy Gaddafi, you know, planes sitting on an airfield. Now, that's another thing that I learned. Wheelis Air Base was a United States Air Force base located in Libya. Today, the facility is known as Matiga International Airport. Now, it was originally built by Italian Air Forces in 1923. You know, and then it was used by the German Luftwaffe during the Battle of North Africa. And eventually, we get to World War II, and we'll get into some of the history of, you know, how Libya played in it, international politics, and where Gaddafi came from, and how the heck is it that we're involved and this becomes our responsibility. And, of course, we got Britain, France, Italy, Germany, and what their role is. We're going to learn a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's starting to get a little bit warm. I'm into my third day of wearing shorts. Yeah, flip-flops sitting here, you know, being styling here at the farm. Now, what we're going over is Libya. I want to make sure that we just have an understanding of some of the things that we're just, you know, we're just never told the truth. And in hindsight, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people die. Entire economies go to crap. Our future of our children and grandchildren are... saying they're in jeopardy, is that strong enough? So I want to go, you know, we'll go the way back machine here a little bit. And I remember it was, let me see if I, yeah, here it was. Our government has already been caught lying about Iraq. Now, when was this? This was in January of 03. And I remember this because it was the big, giant buildup to war with Iraq. And we're going to invade and shock and awe, and they're beating the drums. Boom, 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 boom. The war drums. Here we go. Now, there was a St. Petersburg daily newspaper, the St. Petersburg Times. And I remember I used to live in Florida till I was 12. And that was a St. Petersburg, Tampa, whatever. So I remember that was one of the main papers in Florida. And they're independently owned. And they go, you know, we're gonna do a little bit. We're going to check this time. You know, we've been through this before. We were told that Iraqi troops were massing at the Saudi border, and these satellite photographs were shown to the Saudi leadership to get them to change their mind and allow U.S. troops to enter their country. Now, this is, you know, one of the big things that we have a problem is with the Arabic community is we got U.S. soldiers on the Holy Land. You got women running around without their face covered and stuff. You know, whatever. I mean, we're there. I'm not sure we'd feel whole warm and fuzzy about them being here. So what they did is they needed to sell this war. Now, I started, one of the reasons why some people, I had just sold my pizza restaurant and looking for something to do, and we're getting all ready and planning, and we're just happy to be done with that portion of our life. It dominated our life for years. And our kids were getting older, and they were of actual, somebody else could hire them at 16 working age, and they're going, wow, if I do half of the work over here, I get paid? So they were like, yeah, I was they were on strike, man. It was open rebellion was about ready to come. So it was time to sell the restaurant, and I'm really glad we did it. It was good work ethic for the kids, but during that time, there were a lot of people. I'd run for office, been a libertarian activist and all that kind of stuff. And he said, Ernie, we got to get you on the radio. And we're willing to sponsor and fund and this and do and whatever. So I had pre-sponsors, and I went on the morning drive here out of Scottsdale, Arizona, morning show, 2 hours, 7 to 9 every day. So I'm going, okay, you know, this is a good opportunity. Right before we went into Iraq. So at the same time, Charles Goyette was at the Clear Channel station. He had already refused to support what was happening. He's going, no, heck no. No, 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 no. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. I'm not playing. And what they did is going in the 2002 election cycle, the midterm elections after www.warmonger.com, Bush was in office. They were looking for Clear Channel and Fox News and all these guys to be beating the drums along with them in support of the troops. It's always support of the troops. What it really was a Republican neocon love fest for Bush and midterm elections for the Republicans. He didn't want to play. He's going, no, I'm not going to do it. They bring him into the office, and Clear Channel execs go, yeah, let me explain it to you how it works. And they did to him what they did to the Dixie Chicks. Like they Dixie Chicked him. And for the American conservative, he knew that they were going to eventually fire him or not renew his contract, because what they did, they put him on later at night and didn't renew his contract. And then he came over to the station where I was. And what they did is they wanted to make sure that his voice didn't get out. Now, he had Colonel Hackworth, which is one of the most respected military commanders ever, and he had his own website, and he was, you know, the soldier's man. You know, he was always advocating for them, which wasn't necessarily sending them to war. It's like have a good reason and a plan and get done. And Charles would always have Colonel Hackworth on as his Secretary of Defense. And they'd talk about this stuff and expose a lot of things. Well, he wrote an article, How to Lose Your Job in Talk Radio, and it was published in the American Conservative. And it was just, you know, look, this is what's going to happen. I know how they're going to play me on this, but I know where this ends, and I'm not playing. Well, I was in a little bit different position. At the same time, he and I and another gentleman, he's now a talk show host, morning show over at Clear Channel now, named Jim Sharp. He was a little bit less, you know, he's more kind of, well, I'm not sure. And, you know, he's kind of hedging a little bit, but he was over at KTAR, another main station at the time. But he wasn't advocating for that. He was asking more questions. He was really, you know, dragging his feet on this, you know, pro-war thing. Well, Charles really going at it. I was, you know, heavy against it also, but Charles had been at it, you know, months before I was. And when I got on the air, I was listening to a lot of the stuff that Charles was doing. I remember him doing this story about the U.S. lying about these Iraqi troop satellite photos. When I started in February of 03, by then it was very clear, not just philosophically, but I mean strategically, tactically, just, you know, accuracy and information. It was obvious we were being so lied to. The media knew it. They didn't care. They're more concerned because a lot of times they're owned by the very people whose interest is to go to war. We were told that Iraqi troops were massing at the border, and here's the satellites. Well, it turned out that those satellite photos were fake. They never existed. The story was broken in the St. Petersburg Times some months later, and it was something that people were convinced of because we were told it was satellite photographs. There was virtual unanimous acceptance by the media of the allegedly enormous manpower behind Saddam's territorial ambition. Only the St. Petersburg Times, a well-respected Florida daily under independent ownership, challenged the government line. In a top of front page story published on Sunday, January 6th, okay, now this is 2003, I'm sure, Washington Bureau reporter Gene Heller reported that satellite photos of the border between southern Kuwait and Saudi Arabia taken on September 11th and 13th, 1990 by Soviet company revealed no evidence of a massive Iraqi presence in Kuwait in September. Okay, this is the first Gulf War. Now, there was another one that was done that I was thinking of. I'm trying to get my date straight. I'm doing this research along with you. Now, this one was done in the first Gulf War, so we already knew that they were lying back then. Now, what's happened is that we have the lies we were told about Iraq by Victor Marshall. Now, this was published in January of 03. The Bush administration's confrontation with Iraq is as much a contest of credibility as it is of military force. Washington claims that Baghdad harbors ambitions of aggression, continues to develop and stockpile weapons of mass destruction, and maintains ties to al-Qaeda, lacking solid evidence. The public must weigh Saddam Hussein's penchant for lies against the administration's own record. So this was, you know, I remember what happened. There was another thing that they had lied about, and they brought this story up to show that they had already done it under Daddy Bush, which you might as well say Cheney and Rumsfeld knows those guys anyway. Yeah, that's how it went. I remember they brought this up, that they had done this before. Now, it was when they report all this stuff, where did they get the satellite images? They came from a private company, all right, which was really the Russian government. Because when they dismantled the Russian government, I mean, when you dismantle, you dismantle. You know, hey, you want a satellite, you want to do this, communication, you know, try to do whatever, and it's Joe Schmo, Putin, and what's his buddies, and they start selling this information to different people. So I'm gonna go ahead and try and, I'm learning this along with you, because I want to be prepared for when these guys come on next week and try to remind myself how this all played out, because there's Russian satellites again now. And what are they saying about what's happening in Tripoli?
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Home of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, where we're organizing a bunch of the stuff for the day. You know, Sierra's helping me out as we're doing the research. I got piles and piles of paper here. I'm highlighting and going through and trying to reconstruct my memory and getting this all done. But if you go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and look at today's archive, she has all the stuff that we're going over up there. And I remember, I'm trying to pieces together. I remember what happened from my memory. This This story was being used a lot when I first started doing radio about, you know, yeah, just because you're satellite and you say it doesn't mean nothing. And I remember that now. This was from what had happened in 1990, you know, when going into the first Gulf War, that we had been lied into that war too. And, you know, what happened with that and why and so on. And that's how we convinced the Saudi government to allow military bases to go into Saudi Arabia. We had to make them fearful that Saddam was going to invade them. I mean, he had invaded Iraq, of course, we kind of gave him the invitation to. But so that allowed us to be there. Well, then that started the Osama bin Laden thing, the Mujahideen, however you say it, the guys that we were supporting with Stinger missiles opposing the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. Well, Osama bin Laden is part of the bin Laden family, is big contractors out of Saudi Arabia anyway, and have a whole bunch of family that's involved in royalty there, they have connections to the government. Well, they were in big opposition. One of the reasons why they give that there were the attacks on the World Trade Center was because we have troops over there. That was bad thing as far as they're concerned. Now, it was in, go to my old archive, 03, and it was Tony Snow was the, he just started a new show, Fox News Sunday, was a new creation that they had done for Tony Snow. Now, in doing the research for him coming on my show, this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to promote their Fox News Sunday programming and the indoctrination of the American people before we went into it, before we actually invaded Iraq. When I was started doing radio, I'm screaming against it. I go, let me tell you when the war is going to start. There's going to be a Marine with his foot up on some rubble holding the American flag saying we win, and then the war starts. Now, all this prep, you know, that's not what it's going to be, insurgent and people and resistance and rebels and, you know, here we go, you know, which is kind of what they expected and wanted anyway. These wars aren't meant to be won. They're meant to be fought. So Tony Snow wanted to have, their publicist wanted to have a series of large city morning shows that he would go and I guess afternoon drive to. And they approached my radio station asking if my show would have him on for one segment, a little 10-minute thing every Friday to promote his show that was going to be every Sunday that would be in support of the war. I can guarantee you that. It just so happens, I think that was the same day that I had G. Gordon Liddy in studio. Now, his son, Tom Liddy, is involved in Arizona politics, and he had a show down there, and Gordon happened to be in town. I worked it out where he came in studio and so on. So I was overwhelmed with neocons. Now, I gave my spiel. I mean, you know, my rhetoric hadn't changed. I'd be nice. You know, it's like Peter Schiff has Dick Morris on for a few minutes and he's gone. You know, I was always able to get him to, you know, drag it out a little more. I just give him a false sense of security and ask him the appropriate question. I want to get him on record to say something. This is what I want to get out of Tony Snow. And he wanted to do it every Friday. They did it one time. He never came back. What it was is during the first Gulf War under Daddy Bush, he was assistant communications director, and he was very much behind what the rhetoric was, and we're going to war and war and neocon war. Well, of course he's going to be a talking head on Fox News on Sunday, and of course he gets drafted to replace Scott McCullen, you know, for the Bush administration as their press guy. Standing up there at the White House press room. Well, of course. So while he's on and we're talking, oh, it's great to have you on and blah, 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 and stroking and squeezing biceps and you must lift and ain't you pretty and all this other stuff. Get them all opening up and we're having a good time. And then what's your opinion? What's your flavor going to be on this Iraq war, this threat to invade? Seeing as how you were assistant communications director under Daddy Bush in the first Gulf War. I mean, I would imagine you're going to have, you know, some kind of a position on that. Oh, he didn't want that brought up. That, no, heck no. And G. Gordon, when he was in, he has a son that was, I don't know, I think it was in charge of a mortar command of something, you know, that was, he had been shipped to the Middle East and he's all proud of that Marine and we're going to go kick some butt. So we were deluged with this stuff. And it was lie after lie after lie. And this is, you know, Ray McGovern starting to go out and challenging Rumsfeld and Cheney getting hammered on. But all of the media were just beating the drum. Who was out there saying no? The same thing is happening now. And I remember this story about from the first Gulf War, and I think there was something else. There were some other satellite images of what was going on in before we did the shock and awe thing. People were calling BS on some stuff too. But I remember this story being prevalent then because a lot of the same people were on board at what had it happened before. And we never really stopped bombing Iraq. You know, whenever Clinton needed to have the distraction away from blue dresses or whatever, he's, you know, missiling Iraq somewhere. You know, they're blowing up baby formula factories and stuff. So I see this again. You know, it's if it worked once before, heck, they'll just do it again. Now we have from Prison Planet a story: Russian military claims Libya airstrikes did not happen. Now, this is just a few days ago. Images from space suggest attack was contrived to create pretext for humanitarian military intervention. The Russian military claims that the supposed airstrikes launched by Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi against protesters last week did not happen, suggesting that the key events seized upon by the global media as a justification for humanitarian military intervention was a contrived hoax. Was it? Maybe not. Am I allowed not to care? It's not. Why am I don't care. I mean, why there? Why not all these in Indonesia and Africa and South America? You know, where does it stop? Now, some of the film, anybody that I, you know, it's all eye candy. And what are we seeing? We're seeing these, you know, four-barrel anti-aircraft guns pointed up in the air shooting out of the back of a pickup truck. And what do you notice? The first thing I noticed, I mean, at least we get a little bit more sophisticated and watching, you know, good action movies or something, is that those guns couldn't swivel or move. They're locked in. It's like they just put them in the back of a little Toyota pickup truck just to say they have so they could just fire them. And you're going, you can't even see the jets. You don't know what's going on. They're just going, doom, 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 doom. And it was just all show. They couldn't rotate them, move them. They're just firing up in the air. Just, you know, did you get the shot? The video shot. So here it comes again. I just see it coming. And amongst all this, what do? WikiLeaks gets all this information out. They're trying to distract from that, I'm sure, because, you know, all of our actions over there is just, it's just manipulating of the public mind. Well, the U.S. files 22 new charges against WikiLeaks soldier Bradley Manning. The U.S. military said it has brought 22 new charges against a soldier accused of leaking hundreds of thousands of sensitive U.S. government documents that were later published by the website WikiLeaks. Bradley Manning, a former intelligence analyst suspected of obtaining the documents while serving in Iraq, is being held at a Marine base in Virginia. Now, Kucinich wants to go meet with him, Congressman Kucinich, because he's like, is this true? You guys are just torturing him? He's having a, you know, cold, naked, doing, I mean, you know, come on. You know, I want to see. When we come back, I want to tell you what the next phase is. We went through this before. Spy bloggers not friending U.S. targets, CENTCOM says. Now, I don't know why they use that title. What this is that the U.S. Central Command, this new rule us here, says the new persona social media infiltration software is designed to cozy up to extremist bloggers overseas, not law-abiding Americans chatting on Facebook or similar sites. They're creating computer people to populate opinion on the internet around the world. But not in the U.S. Pinky swear. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what Readers of Freedom's Phoenix.com get every day. Readers of Freedom's Phoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.